Welcome to SRI International's podcast. Today I'm talking to Larry Langbrink about the Gulf oil spill. This will be part one of a two-part podcast where Larry will give his thoughts and commentary on what's happening in the Gulf. Larry Langbrink is the director of SRI International's Marine Technology Program in St. Petersburg, Florida. Larry, why don't you begin by telling us the three things people should understand about the Gulf oil spill?
First of all, there's a lot more to the spill than just what you see on the surface. Because this is a very, very deep well, and because dispersants are being added at the well site, there's an opportunity for the oil to emulsify and spread apart and reside for long periods of time throughout what we call the water column. So it's not just oil on the surface. It's oil that's suspended in the what are called trophic levels, or what we would refer to as the nutrient-rich levels of the ocean. And that suspended oil can have a big impact. So the fact that it's a three-dimensional problem and not just something on the surface is very important. Number two is that we know very little about this kind of event in the deep ocean. This is not a common event. We as a species have embarked on one of the biggest experiments that we've ever pursued in our history. The question of, I wonder what would happen if we introduced large quantities of hydrocarbons into a marine ecosystem. People are going to get the answer to that soon. So realizing that this isn't something that the scientific community has really dealt with in the past is important as well. I would say number three, with the several unknowns surrounding the spill in terms of the quantity of oil that's coming out, what its constituents are that might impact the food web, we need to understand that there could be an impact on the fish that we eat and, you know, the future populations of crabs and benthic organisms that are near the floor, and also the fish that we may be consuming at a restaurant. But until we have a chance to really look closely at the extent of the spill and the extent of the harmful hydrocarbons actually in the Gulf, it's going to be very, very difficult to assess whether it's safe or unsafe to really be consuming some of the seafood coming from the Gulf. So that's a question. It's not something I think people should be afraid of, but it's certainly something that we need to answer, and it's an important issue that needs to be addressed.
Can you discuss the concept of water exchange, how in the deeper depths of the Gulf, water doesn't move in the same way as other places, and why that's an important aspect to what we're dealing with in the Gulf spill?
Sure. Of course, the spill is located in very close proximity, if not within the Gulf, within the loop current in the Gulf. And we understand well what's going on in the surface. We can observe the loop current through a number of means, including satellite imagery. But when you get deeper into the Gulf, there are some geological features, topography of the seafloor that has a big impact. The actual water flow throughout different depths within the Gulf of Mexico is something that we as a scientific community are continuing to study and learning more and more about all the time. It's not something that we have a very, very good handle on right now. So the big issue is really trying to understand oxygen transport with that water, especially the deep water. As the hydrocarbons are released into the environment, there's a response of natural bacteria that already exist in the ocean. That natural bacteria will attack the hydrocarbons. It will use oxygen that's available in the surrounding water and, in general, produce carbon dioxide in water from essentially eating and consuming the hydrocarbons. So if that process continues and oxygen is depleted, the real question becomes, are those transport mechanisms sufficient in the deep levels to allow new oxygen to come in and allow the the bacteria to continue to consume the hydrocarbons. A really big question about this hydrocarbon influx from the spill is how will it affect oxygen levels deep in the Gulf of Mexico? And, of course, if you deplete the oxygen in some regions, we need to answer the question, will that have an impact or will it not have an impact on the marine biota?
Let's discuss SRI's water column work that was done close to the Horizon rig.
So our mass spectrometer, which, by the way, we've been developing even back when we were with the University of South Florida and working with researchers there, we've been developing it for more than a decade. And throughout the past 12-plus years, we've deployed it literally all over the world. There have been a number of deployments with our mass spectrometer. And, of course, we had an opportunity to deploy it in the Gulf of Mexico, and we, back in 2007 and again in 2009, with what is called the Gas Hydrate Consortium, we deployed the mass spec, and we're actually looking at hydrocarbon concentrations in the northern Gulf of Mexico, in the Mississippi Canyon 118 site, which is not all that far from where the Deepwater Horizon spill site is. We were primarily looking at hydrocarbons close to the bottom because we wanted to understand more about the processes that result in the formation of methane hydrates, which is a crystalline form on the bottom in cold water that's around 6 degrees centigrade or so. And these crystal formations are mostly composed of water and methane. So the interesting thing that we found was that we expected to see higher levels of hydrocarbons, especially around the areas where there was obvious formation of methane hydrates. And our data showed that there were very, very, very low concentrations. So essentially throughout the water column, we found almost no hydrocarbons at all with our mass spec. So right now, we're very, very interested, of course, to compare some of those past data sets, which, by the way, we gathered in collaboration with the University of Mississippi and University of Georgia. We're very interested in looking at those data sets and understanding how they compare to measurements that we'll be making now.
Thank you, Larry, for your time today. This has certainly been an interesting conversation, and I appreciate you taking part in the podcast. This has been part one of a two-part podcast on the Gulf oil spill, and we've been talking to Larry Langbrake, the director of SRI International's Marine Technology Program.